Shots fired, burns, aliens. Ooh, crazy stuff, guys. Welcome back to STM Live. My name is Aaron. It is a Wednesday, and it is an honor and a privilege to be here with you as always. We have a very special guest for tonight's show. We're talking UFOs. On the Trail of UFOs, Dark Sky is now available on YouTube. This is one of my favorite STM films. If you haven't checked it out yet, I hope that you do after tonight's show. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Before we get into tonight's discussion, there are a few things that I just have to talk to you about. I'm so excited. Monster Fest 2 is coming up on June 28th and 29th of this year. We're like almost 2 months away, guys. It was this far away thing, and now it's almost here. I'm so excited. You'll be able to meet a variety of exciting guests and sponsors, including Seymour's Captive Cryptids and tonight's guest, who we're going to introduce in just a moment here. Speaking of tonight's guest, I'll go ahead and just let you guys know we have a new episode of The Lore You Know featuring Mr. Jonathan Addy. That is coming out on Monday, and after tonight's chat, you're really going to want to check this out. I know it. Fun stuff happening, also not in the sphere of things that I just mentioned. It's werewolf season, guys. The Skinwalkers, American Werewolves 2, is finally available to stream on VOD. That's video on demand. I did have someone ask this week, what is VOD? Video on demand. You can check it out on Prime Video and Apple TV, and you can get physical copies on Blu-ray and or DVD at smalltownmonsters.com. Speaking of werewolves, The Bray Road Beast, one of my personal favorite Small Town Monsters films, one of the first that I watched. The reason that I got hooked on all this werewolf stuff in the first place, arguably, The Bray Road Beast, guys, is going to be available on YouTube worldwide on Sunday. It is available for YouTube channel members right now in ad-free 4K. Check it out. It's such a great movie. If you've already seen it, you know what I'm talking about. Last announcement of the night for now, I promise. Pre-orders are now available for Hunting Grounds, Dogmen of the Lakes, which is a book that I wrote. I'm really happy about this book, guys. I'm happy that it's out in the world. It's finished. I can't wait for you all to read it. I very much hope that you enjoy it, and you can pre-order it right now over at smalltownmonsters.com. So check it out, and that will be shipping on April the 23rd. Which is also the date you can get it on Amazon. So a big hello, a hi, thank you. What's up to all of our friends, returning viewers in the audience tonight. I see Nick, I see Mike, Julie, Emma is here, my boy Michael from ATX. I see Kat. That's a dope username, Kat. I love it. To the point. J.E. Roberts is here. Great to see you. And Vincent as well. So shout out to everybody. Be sure to say hi. Let us know where you're watching from. And any questions or comments you guys have tonight, be sure to throw them out in the chat because we definitely want to get to those. And a shout out to our newest squad member, Carol Ramsey, who has joined the squad. The squad is the term which we use to affectionately refer to our YouTube channel members. We love you guys. You make what we do possible. So Without any further ado, because I'm looking at him, it looks like he's here. We're going to bring up tonight's guest. I've had the opportunity to chat with this gentleman a little bit already. I think he's great. I think you guys are going to think the same thing. Please welcome Mr. Jonathan Addy. What's up, brother? How are you?
Hey, man. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic, dude. I've really been looking forward to this. So thank you. Thank you for making time.
Me too.
Heck yeah. Now, just to make sure that I get it right, I was going to ask you this earlier and I forgot. Am I pronouncing your last name correctly? Is it Addy or 80? I'm sorry.
It's 80, but
80.
It's fine. I've gone by Addy my whole life.
I'll fix it in post.
Don't worry about that.
I'll edit it. It's going to be very obvious that I've edited it.
No, but, that's okay.
No, man, I'm really excited to talk with you tonight. You know, we're going to talk about some of your artwork and the stuff that you've been working on. You've done some really cool stuff for STM lately, but we're also going to talk about UFOs, and I know that's a topic that you're really, really into. Yeah. So, can you tell us a little bit about your background and like, who are you?
All right, short and sweet. So my name is Jonathan Addy, and I lived all over. I think about eight states, growing up in, and Ohio, West Virginia, I spent most of my time in, and been an artist since I could pick up a pencil, and have always been fascinated with this topic, but really only recently have I really started to really explore it. And went to college in Pittsburgh, to study art, and I graduated high school in Massillon, Ohio. And here I am. I'm entering my 25th year as a professional designer and illustrator. And I live stone's throw away from the North Carolina, South Carolina border, down here in North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, right on the beach. So that's a very short and sweet, quick backdrop.
I've been doing some research into your part of town lately, as far as UFOs and lights in the sky go. So, you know,
there's a lot down here. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's my understanding.
It's still one of my favorite things, but we can talk about that later.
Oh, we're gonna. Okay. So you are an artist. You create some really cool and interesting artwork, stuff that I personally am a big fan of. I, for some reason, I'm having issues with StreamYard tonight, and it's not wanting to load all of the images that I'm trying to show people. But you created a poster for Monster Fest 2 that I'm a huge fan of. And it's super cool. I love it. I've actually got it pinned right now on the Small Town Monsters Instagram page. So head over there, check that out, guys. Be sure to bookmark it. But, you know, I want to talk about your art. I'd love for you to show some of it off. But how did you get into depicting art that is centric to the strange and the unsolved?
Sure. So, you know, for the longest time, I've sort of backed myself into a corner when it came to my art. Not really back myself into a corner, but I've spent years on one particular genre, and I finally just realized I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to box myself in. So you know, I could spend years creating certain pieces that have something to do with something completely different, and then I throw out something like, let's say, you know, a Bigfoot image or something that I'm just interested in personally, and people would lose their minds. You know, they're like, wait a minute, this isn't what we know. So I decided to go against that. But it's probably been about 5, maybe 6 years that I've really started to professionally put it out there, but I've always been a fan of it. You know, I can remember watching, my dad showed me when I was little, his favorite movie ever was the War of the Worlds, the original. And he loved that. Classic. And you know, and yeah. So it was, my dad's always been a fan of extraterrestrials, life on other planets, that whole thing. So you know, I've always been fascinated with it, but it's only been the last, you know, like I said, 5 years when I've really started to realize, oh, there's actually a group of people out there that want to see it, because I kind of buried that for a long time. You know, I didn't think there was much of a market for it, and then started listening to some podcasts and found you guys and showed up at Monster Fest last year. And I was like, man, this is cool. I got to explore more. So, I mean, I've always been a fan of, you know, the paranormal, all of that. It goes back to my childhood living in a really, really scary house as a kid. And, you know, my dad really believing wholeheartedly in extraterrestrials and telling me some funny stories about him growing up. You know, and they, you know, growing up in Ohio and on the farms and their experiences, that things that they said they've seen. And, you know, and I've even had a couple of experiences myself of seeing things that I can't explain. So it's always been a fascination of mine. But, you know, I guess I can say it's never too late. I'm just bummed I didn't start earlier.
I feel that. I've talked to a lot of people recently. And by recently, I mean in the last like 3.5 years that I've been doing this stuff kind of seriously, who also kind of started doing this stuff within the last 3 to 5 years. Like, I feel like there's a lot of us who very recently either came back to this stuff or were just hooked by it for one reason or another. But yeah. I'm wondering, you mentioned you started listening to some podcasts. This is not in the notes I sent you, so you can pass on it. But can you recommend any podcasts to us? What are some of your favorites?
Oh, well, I found everybody that I listen to now through Scott and Forrest at Astonishing Legends. Mm-hmm. Somebody recommended that to me, and I started listening to them. And I've got about a 50-minute commute each way to work and back, because you know I work full time as a graphic designer. So I've listened to everything that they've done, and then throughout that time, I found Micah Hanks, and I. the Mike and Hank's program. Absolutely love. He's one of the
fantastic.
He is one of the, yeah, I don't understand how somebody can be that smooth and that knowledgeable, but also his other production, which is Sasquatch Tracks. I absolutely love. And then Shannon LeGros podcast, Into the Fray. I absolutely love that. And then I have to do a shout out to my guys at the Farthest Reaches. I love that. There's just, I mean, I could go on and on, but
it's right. Just, it's hard to be to speak with brevity when you're like, what are my favorite shows? Oh man. Well, I've got 20. It's hard.
I travel from time to time. And like when I travel do road trips, I'm like, I geek out on music and I spend like hours putting together an incredible soundtrack, incredible playlist, right? And then I never listen to a single song because I realize I'm 10 hours into a road trip going from, you know, here to Ohio, and all I've done is listen to podcasts.
Right, so, right.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. I made a huge mistake today. I started listening to a Mass Effect TTRPG Real Play podcast. And if that doesn't make sense to you, that's great. Don't Google it. It's nothing bad. It's just, it's very nerdy, but no. It's really exciting to me to talk to people that have kind of come into the active part of this community recently, or who have come back to it recently, because I think there's like an enthusiasm to that that's really fresh and really exciting. So, you know,
yeah.
Very cool stuff. So once again, any questions you guys have tonight, please do drop them in the comments. It's always more interesting when we hear from you and not just from me, but we're talking UFOs tonight. One of my favorite topics. Can you tell us a little bit, John, about your introduction to UFOs, kind of what got you passionate about it? You mentioned your dad a little while ago. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. You know, it's pretty interesting because I think I can remember. So my dad was a minister. I grew up a preacher's son. and so while life on other planets can get a little bit dicey, and I'm not going to bring up religion on your podcast because, you know, what do they say? Religion and politics, you know, equal losing friends.
It's come up before. We have a recurring guest who's a Lutheran minister. So,
oh, okay.
Mr. Mark Matzke. So no, please. No,
speak. I know who he is. Yeah.
Yeah. You might have heard of Mark Matzke. He's a guy.
Incredibly talented guy. But no, it's just like, I remember seeing as a child, my dad showed me Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And I remember seeing that as a child. I don't know if I probably should have watched that at that point, but you know, it was one of those things where it's just like, you know, your mind, you're like, wow, wait a minute. Is this real? And everybody else I ever met was like, no, it's not real. Don't talk about this. We don't talk about this. But that had more to do with the religious side of things than it did, which is where my main focus is. I will just tell you that is I've spent the amount of time researching and looking into the topics more on the religious side of UAP, UFO than I have been like the research, because I'm not a researcher. I don't claim to be. I'm not out documenting. I don't claim to do that, but yeah, when him he's showing me that, and then he always talked about it. We would drive back and forth from West Virginia to Ohio, and at nighttime those roads, you know, those back roads, he never took the interstates, and he would see something and just scream that there it is, that might be it, that's finally it. And then it was just a flashing light, you know, up on the mountain somewhere, you know, in the Ohio Valley. But he instilled that in me from an early age of like, you know, it's, I know it's cliche, but he would say, if there has to be a life on other planets, because if there's not, it would be an incredible waste of space, you know? And I know you've heard that. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but that's sort of the person who says they believe in it, but don't want to look any further into it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I feel that.
But yeah, it just started from there. And I will watch any sci-fi movie, any movie that has to do with extraterrestrial life. I mean, I say UFOs, UAP. I don't know what we're calling them this week. So if I'm not calling it the right thing, I apologize. But
the vernacular is really loose these days, because I'm partial to UFOs, and I've said this before. Like I'm going to keep using the term UFO. I'm just going to. That's what I was raised on. That's what connects me to the source material. But I understand the logic behind UAP. I think that makes sense. I love that we have that terminology. So,
It's flip a coin.
So
it started as an early age. And I mean, I've been an artist since I could pick up a pencil. And I ended up doing the commercial side of it after college for a long, long time. You know, that idea of being an art director on the 35th floor, you know, in some metropolitan major city with your name in gold on on the door. I got into that for so long that I just realized, man, I'm losing my sense of who I am as an artist. And so, as I started going back to things, I was going back to things that I'm really passionate about. And then after diving into some of these podcasts, I was like, it all just came back to me. It all came crashing back in. And I was like, you know what? Like, again, I'm not going to box myself into art because I'm still doing pieces of, you know, for tourism and like women on a beach and, you know, like hiking and things like that. I still do that. But every now and then I'm like, man, I want to explore what Bigfoot might think of us or what it might be like on the ground rather than seeing that traditional UFO image, you know, with the saucer and the eyes, you know, the green little men kind of thing. So
yeah,
I like to bring an aspect to it that you don't see very often. So
we have a comment from our squad member OPR357, which is two alien gray emojis. So there's a little bit of a visual accompaniment to what
there you
right.
go. And I don't get me wrong, I love the grays.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But it's just, you know, as an artist, if I'm going to get into this, and there's nothing wrong with that image of Bigfoot doing this, you know, like there's nothing wrong with that, but I feel like that's on 50,000 coffee mugs, t-shirts, stickers all over the world. And so if I was like, if I'm going to do this, I want to give it a weird spin. For example, the piece you showed earlier for STM, Bigfoot waking up in the morning, drinking coffee, holding his mug, you know, saying that he believes in us. Just a spin, something funny, you know.
Well, that's really cool. I'll try not to get too introspective, but I think that's really cool because, you know, if you look at the reasons we're fascinated with monsters, they say something about us. They say something about, you know, our primal traits and the deepest parts of ourselves and the things that we're afraid of. So it's cool to see you take that kind of a spin on it with your art, like approaching the human perspective from the monster. I think it's really cool. So
thank you.
Just saying. Yeah. That was kind of a ramble, but just saying.
No, yeah. And I ramble too. So I apologize to your listeners.
Oh no, dude, that's why we're here. That's the nature of this show.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
You know, I can tell just from looking at the comments, the folks here tonight know that they've been here.
Okay.
Speaking of which, a shout out to another new squad member just signed up a few minutes ago, Rudy Litzau. Thank you so much for joining the squad. We appreciate you, friend.
Very nice.
You can check out the Bray Road Beast right now in ad-free 4K, as well as pretty much all of our other YouTube content without ads in 4K. So thank you for signing up. Rudy is not a plant. That really just happened.
That's awesome. Yeah, see, I saw it pop up there. That's great.
Yeah, isn't that cool? Very cool. So we do have an audience. We have a couple audience questions, but I'm going to start with one from our friend Vincent Ellison, because this is one that I really enjoy. And you mentioned science fiction earlier, so I'm interested to hear your take on this. Vincent asks, Dyson Sphere, your thoughts?
Oh, you might have caught me off guard on that one.
Well, a quick explanation for anyone who's not familiar, a Dyson sphere is the concept of a superstructure built in outer space around the outside of a sun. So it essentially encapsulates the sun and harnesses its energy, and people live either on the top or on the inside. It was a concept proposed by a guy named something Dyson. And it comes up a lot in science fiction. So it also served as partial inspiration for the popular video game series Halo. But what do you think about that? Even not this concept specifically, John, but just the idea of alien superstructures, like giant megalithic things built in space far beyond our comprehension. What do you think about that?
You know, okay, and again, you're going to have to help me here with the name. That came into our world what was it, 2 years ago, last year? What, 2 years ago, that the mega structure that we had no idea where it came from?
Not a structure. I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember the name. Amuamua, which means like visitor from the stars or something.
It was the first time we've ever had anything. But it wasn't obeying the rules of space. It wasn't obeying the rules of I shouldn't say of space, but just it wasn't obeying the rules that we as human beings understand the rules to be.
It was moving in a way that physicists were like, this isn't just a meteor. Meteors don't do this.
They don't do that.
Asteroids, sorry.
So, I mean, why couldn't this be? Why couldn't this be something that's real? You know, I don't put anything aside. There's nothing about the idea of UAP, UFOs. I mean, you know, I wonder how many of these sightings have you seen over the years, right? Or that you've heard about over the years where they say it was the size of a glowing basketball, or it was a 10 feet wide by 10 feet, you know, 10 feet in diameter. Do a 10 foot circle. I'm 5'11". You know what I mean? Like, so it's two of me. That's tiny. When you think about what would there be? I mean, are we talking about, little creatures in there, or are these just remote controls? Are these things that they're putting out there to just keep an eye on us? They're drones, for example. I mean, so there has to be massive structures. There has to be a place where all of this is coming from, because they all look so different. You know, you'll see reports of little boxes, and then you'll see some people taking videos. Well, whether these videos are real or not, I don't know, but you'll see these little boxes, or you'll see basketball shaped orbs, or you'll see the tic tac shape. Like, okay, well, you know, people say, well, why are they all so different if they're all from another thing? Well, look at what we have. Look at our weather balloon compared to a drone. You know, so I think it's a great concept, and I'm glad he brought it up, because I haven't thought about that much, but now it's making my head turn. So
You can spend a lot of time thinking about it. There's
just
a
that. Yeah.
If you've heard of the author Larry Niven, he wrote the Ringworld series, which also inspired the Halo games, and he actually talks about the Dyson Sphere in those novels, which I read a few years ago. But you know, that's a really cool example of places in which like fiction and science fiction can intersect with potential reality. Cause we look at a concept like that, and we're like, okay, yeah, you could build some massive thing in space. Just how would you do it? That's what we don't know yet. So
that's what we don't know yet. And then if they could do it, if they can do it, obviously it's something we haven't done. It's something we can't do. So clearly the all of the arrows go in their direction, meaning, you know, they're a lot more advanced than we would be, of course, if they can, if they can do that, you know, so that's always something to think about as well. But yeah, that's a great comment from Vincent. Yeah. That's
such a cool one.
Great question. Yeah.
Like, if you're building something the size of a planet, where is all that material going to come from? Like,
where's it come from?
Oh no.
It's the kind of stuff that keeps me up at night, man.
Dude, seriously. Yeah. I spent an unreasonable amount of time this afternoon asking myself, but why would aliens come here? It took me down some very scary avenues. But
okay, do you care to give us one?
Yeah.
I thought about it today as well.
Yeah, let's go into this. This will be fun. You know, an obvious one is observation, scientific research. They want to see what other civilizations are doing. Like, imagine if we could observe humanity in the Stone Age. We would want to do that. So it makes sense that an advanced race would want to look at us. Mm-hmm. A more intimidating one is military reconnaissance, or maybe what we were just talking about, scouting for potential resources. What if they need water? We have a lot of that. What if they need dirt? We have a lot of that. What if they need silica, you know, glass? We have a lot of that. You know, and if you were to remove this stuff,
what if they need us?
What if they need biological materials? Yeah. And if you were to remove this stuff from the earth in massive quantities, it would have a devastating effect. And if you can travel between stars, pretty good chance you have the capacity to drain the oceans. Maybe. I don't know. So again, that's the stuff that rings around in your head when you really start thinking about this stuff.
So I thought today, if you don't mind, I thought about this today, and I've thought about this for years, and it's this, I don't know if they would be I don't know if they would have a violent agenda, you know, to come here, because I don't really see what we would have for them if, as what you just mentioned, they're building these massive fleets and traveling, you know, through the stars. We haven't really gone past our, you know, the mailbox and our, you know, you leave your front door and go to the mailbox. That's pretty much as far as we've gone.
That's a great way of putting it. but we're trying to cross the street, but
yeah, we're right. Maybe we cross the street. We've sent things across the street, but you know, yes. But as human beings. But so obviously, I don't know how. I always think about. I don't know how much we would have that they wouldn't if they're able to do this millions of years more evolved than we would be. But one of the things I thought about was, you know, remember the people who left, you know, Spain and who left Europe to come to explore new worlds. And they had no idea whether the end of that ocean on the horizon just dropped off or how long it would keep going. So are pigs native to the Bahamas? They're not. They dropped them off there, and chickens, and their intentions were to, on during the route to and from the unknown, they were able to stop and get them for food. So I always go, are we the pigs in eczema in the Bahamas? You know,
dude, I've thought about that. And I've said this on this show before. This is going to be fun. I knew this was going to be fun. If you think about it, we're like the only Earth species that will pretty much just die without running water, penicillin, and regular access to a heat source. We need fire to cook our food. Yes. You know what I mean? And I'm generalizing here. Yes, people can survive in the wild. And we can look at the historical and the fossil record to see how our ancient ancestors did survive to this modern day. But what if we're not supposed to be here?
I could get into my fascination has lied and always will lie in the religious, more of the religious tone of the whole concept of I'm not going to say UFOs and UAPs anymore, because I've always had a problem with that, only because people say, well, I don't believe in UFOs. Well, if you ever looked up in the sky and you saw something that you can't pinpoint, that's a UFO. So to say you believe in UFOs, it's just wording it wrong. And it kind of irks me.
Yeah. Yes,
you believe in UFOs. If you look up and it's not a drone, helicopter, airplane, something like that, it's a UFO.
Yeah. It's reasonable to say, I don't believe necessarily that aliens
are in life on other planets.
That's reasonable.
That's reasonable. And I don't fault anyone for saying that, but I think my biggest interest in it is specifically, or not specifically, but really targets religion, the religious aspect of it. But talking about like, okay, well, why are we here? And how can we be the only ones? But if we are the only ones here, then what was that Arthur C. Clarke's quote that said, two possibilities exist. Either we're alone in the universe or we're not. Both are equally terrifying.
I think that was him. Yeah.
That's my favorite. That's one of my favorite quotes ever. So, but what if we're not supposed to be here? You're right. Mm-hmm. Because in the grand scheme of how long, how old the stars are and how old this vastness is, we're like a glitch.
We're a flash in the pan, dude.
We're a flash in the pants. Yeah. 30 seconds on the clock. I mean, you know.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned, you know, the religious aspect of this stuff, too, because there is a lot of talk nowadays and a lot of conjecture about the crossover between modern UFO sightings, things that we can trace within the last 100 years, mm-hmm. and just the visual aesthetic correlation between stories from the Bible or other religious texts. You know, we obviously think a lot about the Bible in Western society, but there are a lot of religious texts where you have these very miraculous encounters that, at least at the surface level, seem to have some kind of a parallel to what we think of today as UFOs, UAPs, maybe extraterrestrials. You know, that's a thing that comes up a lot, and we're hearing more about it nowadays. So,
and this is nothing new. You know, mm-hmm. the fact that we might be gaining a few hundred, a few thousand, you know, people that interests are peaking because of what the government has put out there recently or something. But this is not new. You're right. This is, I mean, you can go and look at, and again, I want to say the Bible. Okay. That's just what I grew up on. I'm not dismissing any other. And if religion does come up, I just want to preface by saying to your viewers that I don't mean this. I don't mean anything I mentioned in a bad tone, because I grew up in the church and I'm still very religious. But there are probably, you know what? I looked this up earlier today. There are 35 verses in the New King James version of the Bible that mention something that you could actually think of. Hey, this I think they're talking about something not from this planet.
Mm-hmm.
35. Mm-hmm. And that's just in one book. And then but like you said, you have a lot of the religious texts that point to, things that they saw, chariots in the sky. They mention that all the time. Well, now what would you describe a chariot in the sky? You know,
yeah,
either a meteor streaking through, or it's an unidentified flying object. So
yeah, a chariot was something that in that era when those texts were written was a very normal thing. That was a size comparison that people could make. And
absolutely.
Okay. That makes sense to me. Now, some of the UFO descriptions we hear, it was the size of a car. It was the shape of a bus. You know, it was the shape of a battleship, something like that. Like we draw parallels when we see something we don't understand based on our points of reference. So it's interesting. Yeah. Sorry.
Just saying. So chariot, that's what they knew, you know, when they talked about the chariots in the sky, you know. So they're obviously not going to say, oh yeah, it was a car. but it's a very fascinating thing when you start to think about the religious side of this concept. But at the same time, I do believe that there's a big reason why we don't know everything that is already known. And I think a lot of it has to do actually with the fact that people wondering if we can handle it, if we could handle hearing that what's out there. Because I'm not convinced we could. And I don't want to put down our whole human race. But I just don't know if we'd ever be ready to hear that. I really don't.
Well, there's a quote from one of my favorite movies, Men in Black, starring Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones. Yes. You know, where, and I'll probably mess up the exact quote here, but Tommy Lee Jones said, "A person is smart. People are panicky and dumb."
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and it's true, you know, and especially in the modern era when information is disseminated so very, very quickly, you know. If we look at what happened in the congressional hearings in June of 2023 regarding UAP disclosure, you were seeing all kinds of headlines that said the government admits that aliens are real. Well, not really, not exactly, you know.
They never admitted it.
Yeah, not exactly. People who worked for the government came forward and said that they believed there was credible information to support the idea that, et cetera, so forth, you know, so you can kind of make that jump if you want to, but the way things are blown out of proportion so very quickly. So you can kind of imagine another example, the eclipse just happened and people were buying toilet paper en masse and thinking it was the end of the world. So tell us that aliens are real. What's going to happen?
I mean, I've never seen so much. I don't want to say nonsense because you might have, I don't want to offend any of your viewers. I mean,
just chatting, man. No,
there was so much. If you just went on Facebook and went to your, the link where you can just watch, you just scroll through video after video. I've never seen so many people preparing for the end of the world.
I haven't.
Bananas. Yeah. Yeah.
I hadn't seen that kind of fervor since I lived in Florida and a hurricane was about to happen.
There you go. No, but you're right. You're right. I mean, but it was, you know, and I was, I mentioned something to my son, you know, to my oldest boy, and I'm not supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to be like, oh, hey, you should check this out because this is, you know, this is going to be bad. You know, okay, I got to keep him grounded a little bit, but oh my gosh. I mean, the cicadas are coming and this X it was going to make over the United States and the cities it was going through. And I'm just like, this is the exact reason why we would not be able to handle them coming out and saying, here it is. It's official. Here's a body. Here's a craft. This happened, whether it was 3 years ago or 300 years ago, they are here. People would lose their minds.
This is Gonktar. He works in the White House. He's 1,000 years old. He's been president a couple times.
He's advised every president that we've ever had.
Yeah. He's been every Secretary of Defense, actually.
There you go. Yeah.
That's not a dig on any Secretary of Defense. I was just thinking of something that's a cabinet.
Well, I think we've made it clear that whatever we say tonight is not a dig on whatever we say. Yeah.
No, just hanging out. A couple more cool comments from the audience that I really like. OPR357 says, Bigfoot is just minding his her business, and here come some millennial hikers and their water bottles.
Oh, that's genius.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I think OPR, what is that? OPR357.
357.
357. Yeah. That, I'll tell you what, though. But, you know, I know we're talking about UFOs. I absolutely love Bigfoot. I love the whole idea of Sasquatch, the whole idea of, you know, that as well. I'm into all of this. But you can kind of take OPR's comment and kind of attach that to UFOs, too. To aliens. Because... okay, if they're just doing something, how long has it been? Think about it. Roswell, like we just talked about in biblical text or things like that, Roswell was not the first thing. Mm-mm. You know, like it goes so far back. And so if they've been around forever, I just feel like if they wanted something, that what are they waiting on? They would have already taken it. So mm-hmm. like you mentioned, if they're just observing, because look at Jurassic Park, the movie. You know, like they had this little island. They weren't going to bother anything, but they wanted to know how that life worked, you know, kind of thing, which, you know, I love that whole series. But what if they're just doing that? And here we are, like, putting the bad into their mindset, thinking that's what they're about, because mm-hmm. that's all we know. That's all we know as humans is war.
And we immediately think, oh, they're going to blow us up.
We're going to blow us up. Maybe. Well, why? Because that's what we've always done. But that's a great comment about Bigfoot just mining it.
Right.
And here comes some millennials.
OPR usually has a good take on this.
That's very good. I like that a lot.
Always appreciate
it. Oh, and their water bottles, by the way, have a sticker of Bigfoot on it.
Oh, yeah. It's the classic side silhouette, with the one foot forward. Yeah. Maybe it's a sketch of the cabbage. Always. Oh, man. We do have here's one that just came in. We've got a few comments I was going to get to, but I'm going to jump to this one next because I really like it, from Alex Ventura. People aren't going to freak out because we already know they're real. Now, I want to tag along with this for a second, because I have a niece who is 16, is very busy being 16, doing 16 things, you know. And after the congressional hearings last June, I thought this was a huge deal. I was like, oh my God, everybody's going to be talking about this. I was actually in an airport with Micah Hanks the day before the debrief broke that story. And he's the editor in chief of the debrief. And he had told me, like, hey, we're going to break this story. I think it's going to be a big deal. The next day it's everywhere. So a couple of weeks later, we're having dinner as a family, and my brother-in-law and my niece are there. And I'm like, hey, have you heard about this alien thing? Are your friends talking about it at school? No, nobody cares. nobody's interested in that. And I was like, wow. Is it wow? But I think Alex makes an interesting point, because it's almost like maybe we're too wrapped up in our own business. Maybe we just kind of expect this news to come along any day now, but maybe we won't freak out. Maybe we'll just be like, I don't know. What do you think about that?
Alex makes a really, really good point. But at the same time, I'm not throwing you under the bus here, but Alex is listening to your show right now or watching the live stream. Okay. How many people are not? Okay. If we want to look at it that way. Okay. How many people are not? Alex, that's Alex's opinion. And it's a very good point, but we are talking tonight because we believe, because we already know it. We already know that they're real. I mean, we don't know. I don't have proof. If you have proof, you know, let me know.
But I don't, but I think so. I think we
do this. I mean, look at the background that I'm looking at behind me on the trail of UFOs. Like, we're all into this. We all think this is such an incredible concept. But, you know, there are probably thousands to every one. You know, I'm throwing out a number. I have no math. I have, you know, to make this point, but we're just a small group of people when it comes to the overall population. And I just really, a lot of the people I've talked to, because I have reached out to people, I have wanted to know, like, why don't you believe? That's the biggest thing. And so many of the people that have said why they don't, they go right to, you know, biblical text, or that this would, they would question their beliefs. They would question everything that they were raised to believe. I mean, it would open up a whole new can of worms. Let's just say that I don't believe that we were ready for. And I'll take this back to your point about the eclipse. Look at those people were going, but those people were going nuts about what's going to happen, and you need to build bunkers and things like that. So, we think it's real because we love this topic, but we're the minority here. Honestly, I just don't know how many people would be. I think we could handle, if, you know, let's just say on some planet somewhere, we found something that was the size of, you know, your pinky nail. And if it's just breathing or just crawling or whatever it's doing, that's alien life. That's alien life. If we find something that is billions of years ahead of us in technology, a lot of people, that's going to scare a lot of people.
That's a really good point, too. What level are we talking about?
What are we talking about? Right.
Yeah. Because we found water on the moon in the last, you know, decade and a half or so. Yeah. So, okay, yeah, there's probably some kind of microbial life that we just haven't had. That makes sense to people. But if we're talking about some kind of intergalactic civilization, you know, Star Trek level,
yes,
that's a whole nother thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But Alex brings up a good point. I mean, but, you know, because I also think you're, you know, when you mentioned your niece, 16, I mean, that generation's so desensitized by movies, and I, you know, like, we, there's nothing that's going to shock anybody anymore that's younger, I feel. Yeah. Like, yeah.
unless we get the White House lawn landing, like the president comes out, every time I do this, the president is Nixon, but the president comes out, they're real, I have meetings with them every other month, they're showing up tomorrow, and then they actually show up. I don't know why it's Nixon, but then they,
I like that,
show up,
but I, that, you know, works.
that's what it's going to take probably at this point to really shake up the fabric of society, you know, I think, but I could be wrong. I don't know, man. I don't know nothing.
Well, I will point this out, is that if the Phoenix lights happen now, this whole thing is different, because 97, we didn't have, you and I couldn't sit and do this in 97.
Yeah.
We couldn't, unless you got a newspaper that actually covered it. I mean, there was no news. I mean, there was news, but if something like the Phoenix lights happened now, they couldn't have gotten away with half of what they've done to cover it up. And the amount of people that would have had, nobody had phone cameras back, you know, and I mean, the thousands of people that saw it would have been millions, and we'd be on a whole different level right now. But
it would have been live streamed. Honestly, people like me driving to Phoenix to talk to witnesses.
Absolutely.
Like, it would be a whole nother ball game. Yeah. I love it. Here's a cool comment from Charles Grassman. Either way, it's a cool
name. Grassman. I like Grassman better.
I'm just going to go with that. That's what came out first. Apologies for butchering your username, Charles. But Gray's large eyes point to a dark world. I love this kind of speculation. We're talking about, like, you know, descriptions of alien anatomy and what they look like and what that points to from, like, a scientific standpoint. What do you think about that?
Oh, I know. I love that because, it, you know, in any movies you watch, which I'm pretty comfortable to say I've seen them all, if it's about extraterrestrials. And the Grays, I mean, you can listen to, there's a lot of things you can dig up podcast wise, a lot of things you can read book wise. The Grays represent for me what I think, what would be us being the pigs in eczema. Like, I, you know, when you see, did you see Dark Skies? the movie Dark Skies? The movie?
Maybe not. Who's in it?
With she was Felicity. She was Felicity.
No, I know the one you're talking about. No, I was thinking of something
you
else.
You didn't.
I haven't seen it.
Okay, that's your homework for me. I'm giving you homework. Okay. And I might get roasted for it because, you know, again, I don't know how people, you know, what people love cinematography wise, whatever, but the Greys were featured in that and they're terrifying. They're absolutely terrifying. So when you see that, and I know what it looks like, I know that stereotypical, I had something around here somewhere. I'm looking at all the, I'm getting ready for Monster Fest and
your studio's stacked.
My studio's littered with work and frames and X-Acto knives and all that. But, I've got a Grace piece, but, Charles is spot on that. Mm-hmm. That to me is a lot different than if you see, the Arrival.
I love that movie. That's
my favorite one of all time.
One of my favorites.
Movie. Yeah. But that's a difference of like, hey, we want to communicate. We don't know what's going on. Or we know what's going on, but we don't know what you're doing and you don't know what we're doing kind of thing. But the Greys, it's like, hey, I'm taking your body and you don't stand a chance.
It's terrifying stuff. Yeah.
Oh, see, that's where I go back to the last comment of your last viewer about people wouldn't freak out. I mean, I wouldn't. You wouldn't, but be honest, if you'll be honest for a minute, and I will, that news breaks and we know it and we know they're out there. If you lay down at night, tell me you're not going to have dark thoughts.
Oh yeah. You know, I mean, and imagine if you're someone who is 100% skeptical for one reason or another, you're just not at all willing. This is all nonsense. People are just seeing balloons and all of a sudden you're presented with that undeniable proof. It's going to rock your world.
It's going to rock. Well, and who was it? I can't remember who said it. I can't remember the gentleman's. Oh, Matt Pruitt, who's a Bigfoot researcher and has the one of my favorite books on Bigfoot. But he said, you know, if you believe in Bigfoot, if you run into one in the woods, your life has changed forever. So it's how emotionally strong you are. You know, here we all were thinking that the eclipse was just another weather pattern, was another something beautiful that was going to last 4 minutes and be gone. But there were people building bunkers because they thought it was going to be dark for 4 days straight. And then the cicadas were coming out and then earthquakes and the end of the world. I mean, our banks would crumble. I just don't know if we as a whole, not you and I, not Charles, not these guys that are commenting, the ladies too, but I don't know if the world is in a whole, that's going to bust a lot of bubbles. You know,
it depends where you are too, you know, because if you're in a big city and you're really wrapped up in the day to day and you've got things to do, you got kids to take care of, this and that, you're going to your job, you know, you're kind of just like, whatever, man, I don't have time for this stuff. But like, if you have the time and the resources and you're really invested in this stuff to build a bunker, hey, if you did build a bunker for the eclipse and nothing happened, you have good a bunker now. You got a bunker. I actually think that's really cool.
Cape.
No, yeah, no joke. I think that's really cool.
I do too.
I would love to have a bunker.
Problem with that. Yeah.
But I think it also does kind of depend on where you are regionally and what your day to day looks like and, you know, stuff like that. I'm not a sociologist.
Well, I can't build a bunker here on the coast because it would fill up with water in like 2 feet.
You yeah. Know? No basements out there. Yeah. Here in Texas, the ground is too hard. It costs costs way too much money to put in a pool just to dig the hole. So speaking of Texas, shout out to Patricia Maldonado, who is watching from Tomball. Hello, Patricia. Always got to shout out my Texas folks. Good to see you. So we've got a little bit of time left. We have a couple other audience comments that I think are pretty cool. Cool. 90s Arcade Cigarette, who officially wins the award for coolest username of the week. Sorry, guys. Got to give it to 90s Arcade Cigarette. I think these things are terrestrial, come from the water or underground, etc. That's an interesting one.
If look into Alaska. Just look into Alaska. It is one of the Alaska Triangle by the way, is going to be a little feature in my journal that I'm releasing at MonsterFest. And that's something I didn't mention on the show. I didn't want to plug myself too much.
No, we're gonna break here in a second so we can make sure we talk about all the cool stuff.
But anyway, the Alaska Triangle is if you do real research into that, which I have because I absolutely love it. I mean, it's hard to deny that they're already here. And so where else? Think about what happened to that submarine when they were going down to the Titanic last year, that disaster.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go very far. You know, we as human beings can't go very far. If they can, what a better place to be. Mm-hmm. And then Alaska in general, which is just, there's nothing there. You know, it's three times the state of Texas. I just said sexist on your show. He's like, yeah, but it's, you know,
people have said worse. You're good.
Dave, yeah. It's three times the size of the state of Texas and it has the population of Seattle. Wrap your head around that. The entire state has a population of one city and it's three times the size of Texas. What a better place, but yeah, 90s arcade cigarette, which is the coolest. That's a logo waiting to happen right there.
Right. I always like to award.
Yeah, 90s arcade cigarette. You might want to get in touch with Aaron and he can put you in touch with me. I think I need to do something with that. That's pretty sweet. Yeah,
you guys should do a brand collaboration.
Underground, sure. The fracking, the volcano, or you know, the earthquakes. I mean, that sometimes those noises, Aaron, does that ever fascinate you? Mm-hmm. The noises that you hear that over the last like decade? Those mm-hmm. videos of the noises that just come from nowhere?
Yeah.
I don't understand that at all. That makes my head hurt.
But, well, that's something John Keel talked about in some of his books, noted a correlation between strange phenomena and mechanical noises or just weird sounds coming from underground. There seems to be some correlation here. And he would point to different cases that seem to fit into different aspects of the paranormal niche, but all had that in common. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And if you're talking about a strange place, I mean, Alaska, bro, we've covered Alaska a lot on this channel. Alex has spent.
You know, oh, Alex, I love what Alex has done. There. Yeah, I love what Alex has done. I can't wait. It's always coming to MonsterFest, so I cannot wait to meet him.
Oh, heck yeah, dude. He's such a cool guy. Yeah,
he seems it. Yeah.
Yeah, he's super cool, dude. But the STM crew was also out there for 17 days, you know, filming some of the On the Trail of Bigfoot stuff. And you know, you watch those films, they covered a lot of ground and there's a lot of information there, but there's so much more. There's so much more.
You could never get to it all. You could be there year round, you know, for 20 years and not see half that place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another gentleman who's been on this show, Mr. Larry Beans Baxter, you know.
Oh, I love Beans.
Great guy. Yeah. Doing research for a long time, but mm-hmm. there's so much more, you know, so it's just one of those places. Yeah. Great comment. 90s arcade cigarette. Love it. Love it.
I do too. That's great.
So we're coming up on the end of the hour, John, but tell us what you've got going on. Tell us what we can keep an eye on. I see you've got some art in the background. If you want to show that off too, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, we did have a comment from our friend Kat, please show some art. So, you know,
Oh boy. So, this is, see if I can, I'm getting all this ready for, but this is the sort of thing that,
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, man, I'm getting a reflection. I'm sorry.
No, but, it looks good. It looks good.
But this is titled Now Do You Believe?
Nice.
So you know it's this guy in the desert. And you know, but it's sort of the idea of, you know, we've seen so many pieces of that stereotypical craft coming down, but what about the person who's underneath that craft kind of thing? You showed the Bigfoot piece, man. I apologize to your viewers. But,
no, I didn't. I didn't prep you. I didn't tell you like, hey, have some art ready. I literally just dropped that on you.
Oh yeah. And so the mug he's holding says, "I believe in humans," which was directly from a hiking piece that I did. Which is here.
Oh, that's cool.
Called The Trail. I've, you know, spent a lot of time in the Blue Ridge Parkway area of Virginia and And Roswell, the 75th anniversary, I did the official mark for.
Oh, dude, I love that.
And
I've
so
seen that before. Yeah.
This is a behind it is a map of 1960s map of that area. And then this is the logo mark. So stickers, I'm gonna have a lot of stickers available at Monster Fest. And then man, I can't show it all because you don't have the time, but this was
no.
This was the fun piece right here. Is and I don't know how many of your I'm buried in stuff here.
No, I saw you. I saw your studio the other day when you were talking with Heather, and our squad members can see the video version of your interview with Heather this upcoming Monday. But you're just like stacked with stuff right now.
Oh yeah. Oh, so I found it. Give me one more. This is. I'm sorry, man.
No, you're chill. This is cool.
I don't know how many people will. I might be showing my age here, but you down with UAP? Yeah, you know me.
Yeah. Yes.
So and it's got, if you see, it's got like stars in the background.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's a decal. I've got, man, I'm loading up for Monster Fest. And
you're a sponsor for Monster Fest. So we'll be able to catch you right at the front when we
So Shannon said that I was gonna be out. Or not Shannon, I'm sorry. Courtney said I was going to be out like in the front with you guys. And I just remember last year I was inside and I did not come prepared because I had no idea it was going to be that big.
Dude, nobody knew what to expect.
It was amazing. It was, yeah.
Nobody knew what to expect.
But yeah. the biggest thing here, if I can just plug it real quick, is...
Yeah, please, please.
I have something called the United States of Illustration. And if anybody watching, anybody, you know, hanging out, reach out to me. But if you're on Instagram, it's at the US of Illustration. And it's basically just me taking all of this studio stuff and trying to find a house for it. And the house, I'm like, what connects everything together? And it's all here in the United States. So it's sort of my project of traveling vicariously, you know, around the country through my art. You know, so showing off state parks and showing off beaches and, you know, things like that. So it's at the US of Illustration. If anybody wants to check it out on Instagram and give me a follow, and I'm releasing pieces day by day leading up to June. And then it's actually going to be a journal where people can subscribe to it 2 times a year. So the very first journal ever will be available at Monster Fest. And then the second journal will come out in December. Nice. So it's like a 6x8, like little, like, but just chock full of designs, illustration, stories. And Micah Hanks wrote my foreword. Wrote the foreword for it. So I'm ecstatic. Yeah. He kind of took the project from here to there, you know.
Dude, anything Micah's involved in, just it elevates immediately. Yeah.
Yeah.
But definitely check it out.
I would love to get in touch with or be in touch and be connected to your, you know, to the everybody tonight who was listening. And, you know, I follow back. I'm not one of those people, you know, it's like I follow back. I love people's stories and hearing from people. And so, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely check it out, guys. John's stuff is super epic. I'm going to throw his Instagram handle up on a banner here in just a second. Definitely give him a follow. If you have been following Small Town Monsters on social media, you have seen some of his work, and it is super great stuff. So check it out, give him a follow. You can also shoot me an email, aaron@smalltownmonsters.com, and I will forward that profile to you if Instagram is not your favorite platform. Some people don't prefer it, but definitely check out John's work. Come visit us at Monster Fest. I did see a comment in the feed here. When and where is Monster Fest? That is June 28th and 29th in Canton, Ohio. You can get your passes right now at stmmonsterfest.com or smalltownmonsters.com and click on the Monster Fest link. You can also follow us on social media. We drop links up there for that pretty much every day. And by we, I mean me, because it's part of my job. So I promise you, you'll be able to find it on our social media pages. John, thank you so much for hanging out with me, man. I've been
Aaron,
so looking forward
man,
to it.
Thank you so much, man. This was a blast. And I had pages of things, hours. I could have talked to you for hours, but we'll
dude,
have to.
I know I could. I always have to like go, okay, it's been an hour, because I could sit on here all night. But
oh,
no,
sure,
for
yeah,
sure, man.
Yeah.
We'll have to have you back for another one of these.
Well, but that doesn't mean we can't do this after hours at Monster Fest one night over some drinks. Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. There's a great little restaurant at the hotel. Very nice. We'll be there.
I didn't stay at the hotel last year because I'm from Maslin, which is like,
oh, yeah.
So I had to get back over there and see my friends. This year, I told my friends, you're not going to see me. I've got a room at the hotel for both nights.
Yeah, man. So, yeah.
Because I got to soak it in, man. It was too much fun.
We'll all gather. We'll talk UFOs and monsters.
Yeah, dude, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you having me on a lot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. My pleasure. Thank you, everybody, so much for tuning in. Thank you for your comments and questions. Always a pleasure to see you. Please come back next week. I'm not going to tell you who the guest is, but it's probably not too hard to figure out if you've been watching this show. We're talking werewolves next week. We're dropping Bray Road on YouTube. We're talking werewolves. So come on back. Come hang out with us. We will be back on Wednesday, the 17th, for another edition of STM Live.
Presented by the Small Town Monsters Broadcasting Network. You can find out more about this and other network shows, as well as Small Town Monsters films, books, and Monster Fest 2 at smalltownmonsters.com.